Welcome back to our Dallas County Let's Talk program, which is always brought to you by Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable. My name is Shaquan Nettingham, and today we are at the Dallas County Health Department speaking with the community health educator, Natalie Del Vecchio. And Natalie, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
You are absolutely welcome. As we're here now in the month of November, so we'll go over some topics. We'll start here with youth vaping and tobacco use. So can you talk about what the trends are for youth using tobacco?
Yeah, so the overall rate of youth tobacco use is actually at its lowest point in the last 25 years, which is great news. E-cigarettes and vaping did become kind of popular alternatives to those traditional cigarettes, but even that has been declining in recent years, so that's positive. However, millions of middle and high school students still report using tobacco, and vaping is still the most popular method. But certain tobacco products, especially nicotine pouches, are kind of starting to grow in popularity as well, so we want to keep an eye on that. So it's still important to talk about this issue and work to prevent it in our communities, even if it is starting to get a little bit better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, that's great to see those trends going down. Now, you talk about vaping. How can vaping and other nicotine products affect your health?
So using vapes, cigarettes, or any tobacco product that you breathe in can irritate and damage your lungs. And there's also growing evidence to suggest that vaping may increase the risk of developing lung cancer as well. Nicotine can also strain the heart because it raises your heart rate and blood pressure, and over time that can be detrimental. And there's also some additional chemicals in these products besides nicotine that are harmful to the body. So examples are formaldehyde and some heavy metals. For teens in particular, nicotine is a highly addictive chemical, and the earlier that you start using it, the more likely you are to be dependent on it into adulthood. So you want to avoid those addictions. And nicotine also affects the developing brain, and it can impact memory, attention, and learning.
And can you talk about how can parents and caregivers intervene when it comes to tobacco products?
Yeah, so if you're a parent or guardian of a preteen or teen, I would say just start having open, judgment-free conversations about tobacco and nicotine use. And I'd say the more often you talk about it and normalize just having that conversation, the better. So you could just ask what they know about this topic and listen to their perspective, share facts about what the risks are in a calm and respectful way, but focus on kind of health and not so much punishment, so that way you can keep the door open for ongoing, you know, conversations. You can also talk to your family healthcare provider if you have any concerns or need some help having that conversation. But resources are also available specifically to help teens quit nicotine and tobacco use. So check out mylifemyquit.org to access a free confidential cessation program.
Again, we are speaking here with Natalie Del Vecchio. She is the community health educator at the Dallas County Health Department. And now, Natalie, I know we just got through the month of October, but it is known as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But obviously, that goes past. That's just the month it's recognized. It's something that, you know, women deal with all year round. And so what do people need to know about breast cancer risk?
So 1 in 8 women in the United States will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime. Everyone actually has some risk of the disease, even men, although that's rare. But risk increases with age, and most people are diagnosed at age 50 or older. Your risk is also influenced by many factors, so genetics, reproductive history, and lifestyle factors.
And can you discuss the screening recommendations?
Yeah, so for women of average risk, mammograms are recommended every 2 years, starting at age 40 until age 74. Women with an increased risk, though, might need to start screening earlier or be screened more frequently or take additional tests, like especially the MRI. So just be sure to discuss your breast cancer risk with your healthcare team to determine what the right steps are for you. And then I also did want to share about one resource. So the Care for Yourself program is Iowa's Breast and Cervical Early Detection Program for women ages 21 through 64 who meet income eligibility guidelines. So through the program, many women can access free or low-cost screenings. So if you're interested, just look up a Care for Yourself program in Iowa, or you can call 866-339-7909 to speak to a confidential coordinator if you're interested.
Awesome. And how can people reduce their risk of developing breast cancer?
So while you can't control your genetics, unfortunately, you can take some steps to lower your risk just by living a healthy lifestyle. So start by getting at least 150 minutes of moderate physical activity every week. So that's just about 30 minutes, 5 days of the week, and you can spread that out throughout the day in increments if you need to. Also, be sure to eat a healthy, balanced diet with a focus on fruits and vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins, while kind of avoiding processed foods. You should also limit your alcohol intake to no more than one drink per day, but the less you drink, the lower your risk will be. Also avoid smoking and tobacco products. These are known to increase your risk. And then just be sure to talk to your doctor about hormone use, because this may also contribute to your breast cancer risk as well.
Again, we're speaking here with Natalie Del Vecchio. She is the community health educator at the Dallas County Health Department. And now, Natalie, our last topic here is sudden infant death syndrome, otherwise known as SIDS. So can you describe what SIDS is?
Yeah, so sudden infant death syndrome is the sudden unexplained death of a baby younger than 1 year old. So, and it usually happens during sleep. So this means that even after like a full investigation, including a medical exam and a review of the baby's history, that no clear cause can be found. However, several factors might increase the risk of SIDS. So these include sleeping on the stomach or side, soft bedding, pillows or stuffed toys in the crib, overheating during sleep, the mom is smoking during pregnancy or around the baby after they're born, the baby has a premature birth or a low birth weight, and then co-sleeping, which is sharing a bed with parents or siblings.
And can you talk about what are steps parents and caregivers need to take to reduce the risk of SIDS?
Yes, so always place the baby on their back to sleep. That's the most important thing for naps and nighttime. And do so on a firm, flat surface, like a safety-approved crib mattress, while keeping blankets, pillows, and toys out of the crib. You should share your room, but not your bed. So have the baby sleep in your room in like their own crib and not come onto your bed. You could avoid overheating them by just dressing them in light clothing and just keeping the room at a comfortable temperature. Avoid smoking during pregnancy and around the baby. Breastfeed if possible, because that is known to lower SIDS risk. And then you can try offering a pacifier at nap and bedtime after breastfeeding is established.
Awesome. Well, there you go. Those are all great tips. Again, we've been speaking here with Natalie Del Vecchio at the Dallas County Health Department, as she is the community health educator, about youth vaping and tobacco use, Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October, and sudden infant death syndrome. And Natalie, thank you so much for taking the time to join me.
Yes, thanks for having me.
You are absolutely welcome. That is all part of our Dallas County Let's Talk program, which is always brought to you by Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable.